hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number, and there's one line open for you at 1-866-444-3478. Talked to Logan yesterday by Skype, and as we try to every Saturday morning after I get off the radio with my friend Bob Webster in San Antonio, and she and Bo are having a great time. I would be lying if I told you I wasn't totally comfortable with what's going on there now. They're in Laos, and they're headed to Thailand. And if you keep up with the news, interesting things going on in that part of the world. So, but they're just having a ball, loving it, and meeting great, interesting people. And some of the Buddhist monks that they met recently, they really had fun with them. I think one of the reasons was they speak English so well, and it's been so long since they've been around anybody speaking much English. So anyway, some of her photographs are on Facebook for you, and she's continuing to send me stuff. I'm going to have a ton of it when they get finished, and we'll turn that into video for you as well. Speaking of that, this hour is brought to you by the Organic Club of America. And members of the Organic Club of America, when you join up, you can get a copy, free copy of my book, The Organic Manual, Inland Sea Oats Seed that came from our experimental gardens. We still have quite a bit of it left. Videos of trips that are from old, some of my old photography that nobody's ever really seen before. And we haven't seen some of this stuff in a long time. And we've done three so far, one of the visit with Henry Moore in England, the second of my 3 months when I lived in the Virgin Islands and college, and then the third one is the first of what's going to be a series of shots from Galapagos and the trip we did there. So joining the Organic Club of America costs a little bit. It's got all kinds of benefits, so we hope you can come on board. The newsletter that we provide has an even better price, and it's free. Just send us an email with your email address or fill out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. And I guess I ought to mention one more time, we do have a new book. It's being sold by University of Texas Press on a pre-delivery basis. It'll be in the bookstores apparently next month, and it's a book on organic lawn care. Jim in Waco first up this hour. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
How is the best way to get rid of bitterweed out in the pasture?
Well, bitterweed is one of those indicator weeds, Jim, kind of like grass burrs, and it's indicating that you got some pretty lousy soil there. You can spray and kill it with any number of the organic herbicides, weed control products, from vinegar through fatty acid products. You can burn it out with the flame devices that are on the market. But the way you get rid of it long term is applying shredded tree trimmings, mulch, compost, organic fertilizers, spraying compost tea or the entire Garrett juice mixture, putting out various things that build the carbon in the soil and build the life in the soil. And of course, those two things go hand in glove. When you change the conditions, make the soil better, bitterweed will not grow.
Okay.
You can kill it in the meantime if you need to with the organic. It's not alive right now, so it's not going to do any good to spray. But right now is a perfect time to start putting out those amendments. And the cheapest one to get is maybe the best, and that's shredded tree trimmings that come right out of the tree care company's truck. You know, if they're doing some line clearing or doing, you know, clearing for an area where a road's being expanded, you can see these big piles of mulch, you know, as you drive around that are piled around all over the place.
Right.
Get you truckloads of that and spread it on your property. There's nothing that will do more good for getting rid of the bitterweed and other noxious weeds and encourage higher successional grasses and forbs than to do that, and you can get it basically for free.
But you definitely do not want to use 2,4-D on it, do you?
No, 2,4-D has been linked to degenerative diseases, including cancer, and is nothing that I would want to be anywhere near.
Right. That's what I thought. I saw someone recommend 2,4-D.
Well, there's people on the radio and write books and all kinds of stuff that still recommend that and Roundup and and other things that are harming the life in the soil and livestock and pets and humans.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Cindy, and there's an open line real quickly for you at 866-444-3478. Hi, Cindy.
Well, hi. I'm glad you took my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you can direct me to any kind of information for using greenhouses in Bowie, Texas, which is between Wichita Falls and Fort Worth, kind of halfway.
Uh-huh.
I just put one in. I just don't know really how to utilize it to the best advantage. It's a 10 by 20, so it's
okay.
Pretty big. I did put some seedlings in there, but with the crazy weather, it got real cold, and I didn't have a heating stove. I have the heating stove in there now. And I have reset all the seeds. But do you have a book or a website you can direct me to use it for this area? I've found some things on the web, but they're like for like North U.S. and stuff. It's not for my area.
Well, if you first of all, I do not have a book on specifically on greenhouse operations. I have a greenhouse. Mine, just to give you kind of the gamut here of things that are possible. Our greenhouse was a total experimental kind of thing. It has a solid roof on it, for example, and it's open to the south, so it gets the sun. And when the sun angle is down in the winter, the sun comes in the greenhouse, and I use it for starting seedlings like you're talking about. I use it for overwintering tropical plants and use it as a kind of a hospital greenhouse, that sort of thing. In the summer, we don't have much in there other than tools, and the dogs use it. Sometimes. So that's one way to go, is to use it for propagating things in the winter and getting ready to set them out in the spring. The other is to, have things growing year round that need to have tender, loving care, but you have to have in the summer cooling and good ventilation and all that sort of thing. And of course in the winter, like you've already discovered, you have to have some heating. There are tons of good websites about greenhouse operations. If you just do a little bit more search there, I think you're going to find more than enough, and it'll show you all the different possibilities there. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just wondering, I put that little stove in there right now because I reset those seeds. What should it hold that temperature in the evenings and the nighttime?
I don't try to get my greenhouse hotter than 45 to 50 degrees. I keep it fairly cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm doing seedlings, like tomato seedlings, I got started late, and I've got some that are probably up 3 inches tall at this point that are still in there. I'm about ready to start moving them out. The warmer you keep it, the better, and the ones that will do the best – that have heating pads below the flats or the pots that you're using to propagate. And that just speeds up the process. It's probably more important than what the temperature of the air is in some cases for some plants. You can buy those heating pads at local garden shops, nurseries, feed stores, and that sort of thing, or order them online. Maybe a little late for this year, but for planning next year, I'd recommend highly that you get some heating pads so you have that under heat.
Okay, I will do that, because I can see when that soil gets cold, air is cold, it's not making the plants. The
little plants will just sit there, that's right.
Yeah, and last question, I wanted to start some worming, worms in there for putting for a compost. I have big tons and tons of the tree trimming company brings me the big mounds of chopped up tree. I don't know what you call it. But for about 6 years, I've been hauling that in my bag. I use that all around my property, but I was wanting to put some in that greenhouse and with other material and put worms in there without the bins or beds. Can that be done? Because I have a dirt floor in this greenhouse.
Yeah, you need to have some kind of container, though. You can just pile it up and make a compost pile, but if you want to really raise worms efficiently, you need some kind of container. And into those tree trimmings, which is a great base for you to start with, add debris from the kitchen, you know, the scraps from the kitchen, and add some alfalfa meal, add a little bit of dry molasses. And one of the things that worms really like is pumpkins. You may not be able to find any right now, but remember for next year, any spoiled pumpkins that people are throwing away, grab all them because they're great for helping to grow worms. Let me put you on hold if you had something else because I got to run for just a bit. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. There's an open line at 866-444-3478, and I'll be back with more right after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs, ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Mature manure black cow.
If you want the best looking grass in the neighborhood, top dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of black cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in black cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of black cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working black cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply black cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black cow, the mature manure, black cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I was just answering a question on Facebook that related to my books. The question was, do my books, are they just for Texas or do they work anywhere? And in general, I'd say my books work coast to coast and border to border with two basic exceptions. One is timing, when you do things. And obviously, that's different in Maine than it is in Florida and, you know, different places in the United States. And the other is specific varieties of plants, you know, what grows well in California and Texas and Montana, you know, are not going to be the same. So you need local advice, and there's plenty of that from the extension services and the garden centers and that sort of thing. But as far as how you plant, how you do bed preparation, how you plant plants properly, how you plant a tree properly, basic insect and disease issues, propagation techniques, you know, everything else is pretty much the same coast to coast. And what we cover in the books is the natural organic approach to all that stuff. And then the other thing I added was that the book that you can get free when you join the Organic Club of America is the least regionalized of all my books. And if you're concerned about that, it would be the one to start with. Open line for you at 866-444-3478. Dave in Granbury, Texas, next up. Hey, Dave.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well, thanks.
You and I have talked a few times. I'm the guy, the cheesemaker over in Granbury who's, you know, I'm doing the mulch and working with the whey and all that kind of thing, and we're getting ready to start up our farmers market season. We do farmers, or we sell product at different farmers markets in the Metroplex. And I stopped by the Cowtown market yesterday, and a lot of the guys listened to you on Sunday. And one of them told me that he overheard you say something that you didn't realize that we could, or you didn't think that we could buy, make, sell, and purchase raw milk cheese here in Texas. And I, rather than try to go through the archives and try to find which show that was on to hear what you said, I just thought, well, I'll just call you. Want to see what your thought or what your understanding is.
Well, my understanding is that it's against the law basically to sell raw milk products in the regular grocery stores, and I buy some sometimes. I have to search through the cheese inventory to find, you know, maybe 2 to 5% of the cheeses in the stores that are unpasteurized milk products. So I don't know how they get there. They tend to be, the ones I run into tend to be from other countries. And I buy raw milk cheese from the farmer's market in downtown Dallas. So I realize that you can get them, and that's all we buy is raw milk cheese for the most part. We'll occasionally get something that's not that, but 90% of what we buy is raw milk cheese.
Okay, well, can I kind of give you a little update on the...
Sure, you bet. Please do.
The raw milk, the liquid raw milk, is a state-by-state proposition from the law. And in Texas, there's two components, A, for buying the liquid. A, the dairy has to have a grade A raw for retail permit. And B, the consumer has to go out to the farm to buy it.
Right.
Now, cheese is a different proposition. Raw milk cheese, the additional component to that one is that the FDA has got a requirement that it be aged a minimum of 60 days. Once you pass that 60-day aging mark, then it's legal. And that's all 50 states. It's legal under those circumstances.
Why do we not have more raw cheese in the grocery stores then?
Well, because actually that's an excellent question. They are growing, and that's a component of the local movement, of local food movement, of people trying to come back and buy and purchase products that are made locally and transparent, that they can see what's going on, that see the dairies, for instance, in my case, see the cows, see where we're milking, and come to our cheese shop and watch us make cheese. We've got an open door policy for that, and what you've got is a growing consumer base that wants that.
Sure,
and but there's several cheeses that come from Europe. You're right, that are raw milk cheeses. And they've been traditionally raw milk cheeses from the get-go. You've got Gruyere's and the Parmigiano Reggiano's been made for 1,000 years from raw milk.
I just bought some the other day, yeah.
Yeah, so, but there is a growing, there's about 20 of us in Texas, artisan cheesemakers, who are making the old-fashioned way, handmade cheeses. And several of us are... some of us are doing raw milk and pasteurized milk cheeses, and some of us are doing strictly raw milk. And as long as you do that 60-day rule and you comply with all the other state regulations, you're good to go. And frankly, I'm in stores all over Texas, and lots of chefs, demand this. They want this kind of cheese because their patrons want it.
Well, that's great to know. So you can sell it without any restrictions to Tom Thumb, for example?
Absolutely. If Tom Thumb wants it, and I hesitate to name the stores that I'm in, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I'm in stores, high end stores, all over Texas, and as long as you're go through the guidelines, the FDA guidelines, aging guidelines, and then you pass all your state inspections and all that with your raw product, your milk, then you're good to go.
What's your brand?
My brand is Eagle Mountain Farmhouse Cheese.
Eagle brand, okay. Well, hang on just a minute. I'm going to talk to you off the air about it a little bit more because I am a huge fan of raw milk, cheese, and yogurt, too, and I'd like to know more about this. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you. I was talking to Dave off the air, and we're just going to put him back on the air because we didn't get finished. Dave, you there?
Yes, sir.
I had asked Dave off the air what was the purpose of the 60-day rule of aging the cheese 60 days before it's legal to sell it in the grocery stores. Tell everybody what that's all about.
Well, if my research is correct, that 60-day rule goes back to, it's kind of a one-size-fits-all type of proposition that the U.S. government came up with, FDA, and it's... The theory is that if there's any potential pathogenic material at all in the cheese, that it's going to die off after 60 days. And that was basically predicated towards cheddar cheese. But they've applied that to all cheeses, and some cheeses, frankly, like a Brie or a Camembert that you can't get here that's made from a raw milk like they make them in France, they get more dangerous after 60 days.
Well, I was going to say, it seems to me like the pathogens, the microbes, would have a better chance of growing and being a problem the longer you age the cheese.
No, not really, because the cheese is a fermentation you know, you're fermenting the milk, and the microbes and bacteria that ferments that you utilize to make curds and ferment the cheese basically overpowers everything in there. That's one of the beautiful things about making cheese.
Yeah, if you do it right.
Yeah, right. It's and even if, you know, theoretically, even if there was some pathogenic material in there, it would be gone. It's just not going to survive the conditions of the aging room.
And the beneficial microbes kind of overpower it maybe too?
Correct. And that's what starts, you know, as the cheese ages, it gets more interesting, it gets more complexity, and that's all the natural processes of it's called proteolysis, and there's a few other things happening that causes that cheese to have all these wonderful flavors as it ages out.
Right. So you don't really have a problem with this 60-day aging requirement?
No, because everything I make cheeses that you can age 60 days and longer.
Okay.
And I don't make the fresh cheeses yet, and I'm going to have to get a pasteurizer to do that.
Well, if there's probably a lot of people listening that think that we're nuts and have never even heard this conversation, because what we're looking for when we buy a cheese is the wording on the label that it's unpasteurized milk, made from unpasteurized milk. And a lot of people think, well, why would I want that? That sounds dangerous. Tell people a little bit about what pasteurization does to milk that's negative.
Well, the problem with heat treatment of the milk, and of course that pasteurization came about through the brewery industry when Louis Pasteur was working, trying to do something about the breweries because they were having some problems and they just started using it for everything. But when you heat that milk up, you denature a lot of the vitamins and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you go to the store and you see a milk that says calcium added, that's because in the pasteurization process, the natural calcium was denatured, and so they add calcium chloride back into the milk to give it the calcium. And so what you're doing is you're kind of chasing your tail. And I'm not saying pasteurization is totally bad, because you got low temperature pasteurization at 145 degrees for about 25 or 30 minutes. That's more gentle with the milk. But you know, now the trend is going to this ultra pasteurized, where it's basically nuked.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing left in the milk that's got any value to it, in my opinion, that's food value.
How can a consumer know that the cheese, if it is pasteurized, was done with this low heat process?
They're not going to. They would have to just research the,
unless they know the maker like you.
Yes. They would have to research the individual cheesemaker or the cheese that they're interested in and find out. Because most of the cheesemakers are going to try to make it at a lower, well, the artisan cheesemakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get into the commercial pasteurization, it's going to be the 161 degrees for 20 seconds of, you know, the higher temperature pasteurizing. And they're still great cheeses, don't get me wrong. They can still make great cheese from the pasteurized milk, but it's, in my opinion, you lose some of the, you lose a lot when you do that.
Well, not only do you have a problem with the vitamins and minerals, like you mentioned, but wouldn't you have a problem with enzymes and other beneficial properties of the cheese?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And the other thing from just a practical standpoint is that most people eat a lot of cheese, it stops them up. And
right.
And raw cheese, it doesn't do that.
I've never had anybody complain to me that it did.
I know it. I can tell you for sure. That's the big difference, just from a practical standpoint. Plus, the flavor's better. And the thing that's amazing to me about the cheese industry, Dave, is that we still allow things like, what are some of the brand? I guess, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. But some of the cheeses aren't even real cheese that are on the market, are they?
No, they're processed, and you really want to stay away from those. It's just like anything else is processed. It's kind of like Michael Pollan says, if you put something on your countertop and it still looks like it's good 6 months later,
yeah,
there's probably something wrong. You know, it's probably not a good thing to ingest.
Yeah, we put a picture of some butter and some margarine and some other fake fat on Facebook a couple of times, and the ants won't even eat it, you know.
Yeah, well, there's information that, you know, there's studies that have been done that cows will walk by genetically modified corn, for instance, to go to the real stuff. It's
sure.
Like they know what they're doing.
Sure, no doubt about it. Well, listen, I really appreciate it. Why don't you send me an email? Just send it to info@dirtdoctor.com with your contact information, and I'd like to get together, and we'll do some more stuff together educating people about all this. I appreciate your help.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Love to do it.
Okay, thanks, Dave. And we've got open lines. Jump in here at 866-444-3478. I had something I wanted to bring up with everybody that we started talking about on Bob's show briefly yesterday. I was listening to his show online before I went on the air, and one of his callers asked him about treated seed. He had bought some seed. I can't remember what it was, tomatoes or what it was, but anyway, they were treated with chemical fungicides and things, some nasty material. And he was asking Bob about it, and Bob was saying that he didn't buy, and he was real careful not to buy any that are treated and blah, 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 which I totally agree with if you can do it. But occasionally, and I had it happen to me recently, one of the tomato seed that was recommended to us when we were going through our little what's the best tomato you've ever grown, which ones do you recommend, which ones have you had the best luck with, one of the listeners recommended highly one called Bellanora and one called Krista. And the Krista I can only find in one place, and it was Harris Seed Company. And I called them, and first of all, they were kind of ornery to deal with over the phone, as opposed to Tomato Growers Supply, the one that I've used and a lot of people listening have used for a long time. They were just delightful and very helpful and everything. When I got the seed from Harris that were Krista, they were treated. And, I didn't know that was going to happen until I got the seed in my possession. I went ahead and planted them, soaked them in Garrett juice first and planted them. And at the same time, I put a call in to my friend and co-author of the professional book, Dr. Michael Amaranthus, about it, because he knows more about beneficial microbes and everything than anybody in the country, probably. And he said that they had research about it. In fact, I think we had Mike on to even talk about it briefly some months ago, and he gave us a little bit of a positive feeling about it, saying that when you're doing an organic program and you're treating the seed with compost tea or the whole Garrett juice, and you're putting them in potting soil that's organic, and you're stimulating mycorrhizae and beneficial bacteria, adding those products to the mix and everything, that the toxins around the seed are pretty quickly, very quickly, disassembled and made a non-issue. In a perfect world, we don't want to be around that garbage that they put on the seed. It's unnecessary, for one thing, and people that are organic, don't want to deal with it. But the good news is, Mike, the guy that knows the most about this subject, says that it really is neutralized pretty quickly. What's not neutralized quickly are the products like Roundup and things like that are part of the genetically modified industry out there that are fouling up the general biology of the soil significantly. And he and I talked about that briefly, and there's a lot of information about that in the book and on our website, too. If you're hearing that for the first time, go into the research area and pull up Roundup. We got all kinds of data about how dangerous and bad it is. And it's also listed in the regular library of dirtdoctor.com, too, what it does. There's a lot of problems with it. The final one being how dangerous it is to human health. But the reason it is because it's so detrimental to beneficial life in the soil. And that's transferred into wildlife, into livestock, into plants, and into the human gut, as it just goes down through the system. And we've got it all there for the people who say we don't have any research about all this stuff. We've got wide open lines, too. Jump on here at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The other thing that we were talking about the other day with Bob on his stuff is that a lot of the plants that are coming in, and this is kind of a frustrating thing for us in a couple of different ways. A lot of the plants that are still coming in to garden centers from the growers have two big major problems. One of them is that they tend to be loaded with synthetic fertilizer that you can see. It's little BBs all through the potting soil, you know, that's called Osmocote. And it's in peat moss-based potting soil that we don't like either. And there's really nothing we can do about that. That's how the whole industry is set up to grow the plants, you know, with those techniques. And it works on that short-term basis to get them sellable plants. And so that's why it continues to be done. The other thing is, the big thing, is that they tend to be too deep in the containers. The plants tend to be too deep in the soil. And so the good thing, the good part of it that I was going to bring up to you is that the world of arboriculture, the tree care companies in the world, are starting to make some progress in talking to people about how to handle those plants that have been improperly grown, where the roots are too deep in the soil and circling around and around and around and all girdled up in there. Let me tell you about some of the things that was in a recent seminar about that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro. Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Ask for it in our local garden center, farm and feed, or hardware store. For more information, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That's 877-655-2121 or GarrettJuicePro.com.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth:
Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Continuing this talk about plants that come from the growers in bad conditions, too deep in the soil and circling and girdling roots wound around in a knot in the container. I did a quick search, and one of the websites that came up about it has an interesting recommendation. It says to cut those roots vertically with a knife, but start 1 inch below the surface of the ball after you take it out of the container. Well, if you do it that way, you leave the most damaging roots intact, those that are right at the surface that are circling around and around. So I don't know why you would not cut all the way down. What is being recommended now is what we used to recommend. We're kind of doing full circle here. We still recommend, and the arborists that have gotten into this and done research are still recommending it too, to take plants out of containers, soak them in water, hydrate them, and try to untangle and pull the roots out and spread them out when they're planted. But when that can't be done, when they're wound too tightly, the thing that they're recommending pretty strongly now, apparently, and I get it. I'll get back to talking about it myself, too. They're saying, first of all, do the main thing that we all agree to do, well, the people that understand too deep in the soil, pull the soil and mulch off the top of the ball when the plant comes out of the container. Knock it off. Try to get down to the flare. And if the roots that are winding around are still up above the flare, you need to cut them away. And then you take a shovel, a sharpshooter shovel, sharp one, or a machete or something like that, and turn the round root ball into a square one. Cut the edge completely off one side, cut it off the other side, cut it off the top and cut it off the other side. In other words, so you cut the round form away and it's square, and what you've done is you've totally eliminated those circling roots. Then you plant the plant and it does a whole lot better. Sounds rather dramatic, but it's a whole lot better than leaving those circling roots on the ball your plant will have trouble for sure down the road if you allow that to happen. Trixie in Fort Worth is next. Hello, Trixie.
Hi, thanks for the cheese information. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
I have a lot of high fern throughout my property.
Uh-huh.
And about 6 years ago, it got really frozen, and I had to cut it back by hand, and it took forever. So this year, again, it's all brown.
Yep. Mine looks pretty ugly in places, too.
Can I weed eat that, or do I have to get down there and...
That'd do a lot of tearing of the plant, Trixie. It'd be better to use, if you want to use something that'll go pretty quick, use hedge trimmers, you know, that would cut, make a pretty smooth cut. The mm-hmm. best thing of all would be to pick, prune it, and then you, as you're going down in there, you're going to make sure that there's not any fiddles that are down there trying to unfold that you might have accidentally whacked into.
Right. There's just so much of it.
Yeah,
it takes
a lot of time, but that's the best way to go. Second best would be the hedge trimmers. I do the weed eater type thing as a last resort, because it is going to do a lot of tearing and probably some damage to your holly ferns.
Okay, what about my Aurelia? All the tops are frozen.
Cut that completely off. You can do kind of like we were talking about earlier in the show with roses. You can wait until you see the new growth start to emerge,
mm-hmm.
and then cut down to that point, and you'll know exactly where to cut.
Can you trim Aurelias back pretty far?
They don't like it much. They would like to be in a warmer climate than you and I are in and not be frozen and damaged back as much. I've got some in my backyard. Mine are getting kind of leggy and haven't liked this winter much at all, but they're still alive. I'm just going to wait and see where they pop out and cut the part above that off.
Yeah, mine still looks great. It's just that all the tops are frozen. So
nice.
I'll just wait then.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do it carefully, and you're probably not going to do any permanent damage if you cut a little bit too far down. In fact, it probably won't hurt anything at all. But I just tend to wait and see where the new pops out and go down to that point so I don't hurt any of the new growth at all.
All righty. Thanks for your help.
Okie doke. See you.
Love your show.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Let's talk to Garlic Mike. Haven't talked to him in a while. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I have heard about some changes going on downtown at the Dallas Farmers Market. They closed Shed 1 March 1st.
Yeah.
They'll be closing Shed 2 May 1st.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with the market? Because they're going to be doing this till October is what I understand the construction or remodeling is going to be. Are they going to still maintain that market?
I don't know the details, Mike, but there was a deal made that was, makes your eyebrows raise at the very least. On a deal where some private businesses, some of them that are still down there selling flowers and stuff, are owners in the new property. The city of Dallas sold the property to private developers, and they're putting in restaurants and bars and stuff like that. And the farmers market's kind of getting pushed to the side. That's basically all I know.
Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on them, aren't we?
Yep. That's all we can do.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, sir. I'm certainly not against commerce and investment and new kinds of things like that, but I definitely don't want to see our farmers market lost. It needed to be improved, not taken the other direction. Well, I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We have another hour for those of you that like to listen to the live streaming on dirtdoctor.com, or if you're in an area like the Dallas-Fort Worth area where all 3 hours are played. We'll be back right after a little short break. You can call me at 866-444-3478. Our newsletter you get for free. Just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com and say you want the newsletter. Enjoyed being with you so far. Got more to come right after this.